Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson, and thank you for your warm welcome when I arrived. I'm still going to miss your impromptu sermonette, but led by the Spirit of God, for some time, quite a while, knowing I had to prepare a sermonette for today, nothing seemed to come together. And then reading Mr. Armstrong's Passover examination, the transcript of the sermon that's been printed in booklet form by the church, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, Passover examination, something struck me very forcefully. On page 17, it's recorded, and the heading that was added reads, "Even some evangelists didn't get it." I've come to know, Mr. Armstrong spoke, and is now written down for us, even men that have risen up in this church, talking about the church Mr. Armstrong controlled, a worldwide work, he has a slip of the tongue, to the rank of apostle, and then he corrects, well, not apostle, but of evangelist, and they apparently have never admitted they have been wrong. They are just so good. They accepted the truth, and they've been accepting it ever since. I didn't read that accurately. And they've been accepting it. They believe and accept the doctrine in their own goodness and their own righteousness. Self-righteousness. And Mr. Armstrong then writes or spoke, and they haven't got any more real salvation than a cat, a dog, or a cow. A lot of people have come into this church, and a lot have been ministers and have gone through Ambassador College. They have been taught, but they never had the Spirit of God. They never really comprehended the spiritual truth. That was quite shocking. What I want to consider is the case of a man in Joshua, I think amongst the leaders of the people, one Achan, A-C-H-A-N. Keep making him sound as though he was a part of Germany. Hachen. I don't mean the place, Aix-la-Chapelle. I'm talking about the man, Achan, who was part of the congregation of Israel at this time of the year when they were besieging Jericho. Jericho was the first city when the people entered the promised land, and God had devoted it to utter destruction. It was to be totally destroyed because of the sins of the place and because God was leading them into a new start, a fresh beginning. Everything about the city was accursed except Rahab, the woman who had shielded the Israelite spies. Because of the promise that had been made to her, she was under God's protection. Achan presumably, faithfully obeyed all the instructions about marching around the city, faithfully with all the rest of the congregation attacked the city, and then disastrously fell into the trap of coveting the things that belonged to God, the things that were accursed to be destroyed, and the things, the gold, the silver, the imperishable things that were God's right, and they were to be handed into the treasury of God. Lust, covetousness got the better of this man. What is remarkable to us in our liberal modern society is that his decision, his unconverted attitude, if you like, affected everyone else so dramatically. The story is recorded in Joshua 6 and continues in Joshua 7. All of it is relevant, so if you could check that up in your own time, please. The city was totally to be destroyed, everything. So the garment that was kept back, presumably some religious, if it's particularly of Babylonia, but perhaps a rich religious vestment, Achan coveted that, something of this world. It looked beautiful. The gold, the silver, we understand that. We are all driven to make a profit and it is appropriate to make a profit, but we must not steal what belongs to someone else. This man had a standing in the community, but his example had a devastating effect, not only on himself, but on the entire nation of the entire congregation. They met reverses in battle. Having scored this immense victory and the destruction of Jericho, they went on to take the next little city and failed abysmally. The discouragement that hit the congregation. We don't stone people nowadays. We're not going to have people separated by lot and work out who is guilty for any particular thing that's gone wrong. But just learn the lesson, please. Our actions affect other people in the church. We've just celebrated 7 days of avoiding unleavened bread, which we know represents sin. We were having a jocular conversation coming up in the car about how close we'd been to eating bread, how easy it is to slip up. So easy to slip up. But remember, the consequences go far beyond our own damage. To misquote Cain, we are our brother's keeper. We are responsible, each and every one, for each other. Achan's sin, his covetousness, led to the destruction of his entire household, who presumably were party to the crime, because it's mentioned that there was lying involved, obviously deception, and it was buried within this in his tent, so his family presumably were party to this, having just looted a city. It's pretty obvious where this sudden wealth came from. So he had the complicity and the knowledge after the fact of his family. But everybody suffered. Everybody was punished. God was angry with the entire congregation. And I don't think that is something that we normally think about when we slip up with something. That we can hinder the entire work of God by our example. That was what I found so shocking about Mr. Armstrong's comments. People who have risen to the very top in the church were never really converted. Now, obviously in the Old Testament times, Achan was never converted. Very few people were led by the Spirit of God at that time. But we have these lessons recorded for our benefit, the consequences of it. God is no respecter of person. It wasn't just pagans that were accursed and to be destroyed who were breaking the law. In Deuteronomy 13, verses 12 to 17, it tells you that anyone who turns from the congregation of Israel to other gods, that city would become accursed and was set aside for utter destruction. Again, it's just to back up that God isn't a respecter of persons. This was the attitude. If God says something is accursed, it is to be avoided like the plague. Anything that comes into contact with this blatant sin, it's like a contagious disease, and it has to be totally expunged. It seems so harsh in our liberal society. When age became a problem a few years ago, the obvious answer would be to separate, to segregate those people who are infected. But that would affect their human rights. So they must be allowed to continue to infect the entire society. That is not God's way. We must be separate from sin. We must live by the faith of God and Jesus Christ. If we could look at Romans, please. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9. To give you all a chance, I didn't mark my Bible today, so I'm struggling to find the place like everyone else. Romans chapter 8. There's something we must always remember. We cannot do this by our own goodness, our own self-righteousness. We need to be led by God's Spirit and much more. Romans 8, starting in verse 9. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Dropping down to 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are not here because of our goodness, because we agree with God. We're here because God called us. God humbled us. He forced us to learn lesson by lesson. We didn't grasp it because we were good. We had to come to realize, as Mr. Armstrong did, we were all utterly useless. Our qualification for being members of God's church don't read very well. They're not the things that we write in our CV when we're looking or applying for another job. Some may pretend to be oh so humble, which means they consider themselves better than everyone else. It's just a facade. Most of us would like to be rich, but I don't know any of us who are. We don't live in an age of time to be mighty. Mighty men now are the ones that are able to press a button to cause utter destruction. And I wouldn't like to know anyone in that position. I know professional soldiers, men equipped with automatic weapons, flaunting the power to kill at distance. I don't know anyone in the church like that, fortunately. We are chosen because of all the attributes that are not valued in this world. So only God's power can be effective, working through us, not our own goodness. We have to live by the faith of Christ working in us and living through us. We have to avoid the accursed thing, and we have to give what is God's and devoted to God, only to God, and not steal anything for ourselves.